Well, good morning. How are y'all doing today? Today is a wonderful day, and I just want y'all to make sure that y'all tag y'all folks in today's episode because Audacity is for sale in 2022. All right, let's go. Good morning. Make sure y'all say good morning. Don't be rude. Good morning. I hope that y'all are having a fabulous morning. Good morning. Okay. Now, we're going to go ahead and get started as we usually do. We have our agenda. So let's go ahead and get that pulled up. Okay. So our morning agenda, y'all do know that this is still Black History Month. We have some church announcements. We are having a conversation about the Pinellas County Superintendent search. We are talking about Florida bills that will be advancing on Tuesday. We will be talking about how we are banning books but not checking cell phones. And I'm going to close you with the question that we need to be intentional with. How are the children? So let's go ahead and get started, amen. Get started. Good morning. Good morning. And if this is your first time watching Morning Tea and Allegations, please let me know. Let me know where you're watching from. I really want to know where people are watching from because I have been inundated with messages of people that are finding Morning Tea and Allegations for the first time. They are enjoying season three, and I'm happy to see it. So let's go ahead and talk about our church announcements. Amen. Amen. So I want to start with the Sunshine Education Coalition. Their 28 Days of Black Brilliance continues week three on Monday. And the theme is traumatized learning. If you missed any of the panel discussions, you can actually find them on Teaching for the Culture, or you can also find it at the Sunshine Education Coalition.org. Now, I just want to play an ad for the Sunshine Education Coalition. So let's run the clip.
I am a confident, smart young man, not a statistic. And it is time to end school to prison pipeline.
Amen, amen, amen. Next, we're going to talk about the 5K for K-12. This is hosted by the University of South Florida. They have a Center for Advancement of Teaching, and they will be the host for this event. The 5K will be held on Saturday, March 26, 2022. Please make sure that you sign up and that you are being supportive of the great work that these organizations are doing. And the last thing that is on the church announcements is about Canva, because most of these effects that I'm using is in Canva. So you can use my link to get a free trial. And again, it supports Teaching for the Culture and the work that we do. Amen, amen, amen. And I just want to say thank you for the stars that people are providing to Teaching for the Culture. It helps our programming. It helps our network do what we do. So just thank you again for your stars, your support, your cash apps, and everything like that. So while we're talking about church announcements, there's another thing that I want to address. People had asked, well, Bianca, what happened to episode 3 on YouTube? Well, I'm here to sadly report that YouTube took it down. Let me put the receipt up here so that you can see it, because I was just as shocked to receive this email as the rest of the folks on the team. So apparently my episode 3, where I was talking about the church agenda, I'm not even going to go into it because I don't even want this video to be removed. Okay, so this particular episode was removed because they said that we violated the misinformation policy. And so I didn't understand it. I filed for an appeal. And when I filed for an appeal, I was very intentional with my communications with YouTube and asking for timestamps so that they can let me know what exactly was misinformation. I definitely do not desire to have misinformation on any type of platforms, especially with the amount of research work that is done for this programming. But nonetheless, quickly, the appeal was denied and my video was removed. So I go back to say that we continue to see that we are shifting to algorithm patterns. And I'm not sure if there were certain words that triggered that or not, but I did find out that there's a list of words that YouTube doesn't like. So we're going to talk about that more later, but I want to just say that if you have an event that you want to promote on Teaching for the Culture, please hit us up at hi@teachingfortheculture.com. Now, let's go ahead and play the last of our church announcements and disclaimers, because we have a good show for you today. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Teen allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. 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 Okay. So Pinellas County Schools is asking for your help. They are asking the community for feedback as they're in the process of selecting a new superintendent. There is currently a survey that needs to be completed by Monday, February the 28th by 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I also just posted the link that you can click to directly to complete the survey. It is very, very important and vital that you make your voice heard when it comes to the selection of the Pinellas new superintendent. Okay? Okay. So speaking of that, I want to direct this commentary, particularly to a school board member on the Pinellas County School Board, and that is Ms. Carol Cook. And so I'm not sure why Hillsborough needed your help to sort out the mess that they're dealing with, because the video that I'm about to play for y'all is mind-blowing to me, the tone and the microaggression. And I'm just watching how they're having conversations about this Pinellas County superintendent. And I just want to just say that I want to give a complete shout out to school board member Caprice Edmond. So let's go ahead and give her a round of applause. Just thank you, school board member Edmond, for always being thorough and intentional with your work. Now, back to you, Carol. I believe that you owe school board member Caprice Edmond an apology for being loud and wrong and your inappropriate tone with her. So let's talk about it. The district hosted a superintendent search work session on February the 8th. And it's clear that the community didn't watch it because it has less than 100 views on YouTube. So this is my request to Pinellas County Schools. During these work sessions, can we please see who's talking so that we don't have to spend time trying to match voices? It was very difficult to follow along. And the solution is very simple. Turn the cameras on. Now, I want to direct your attention to this video on YouTube, and I want you to go to timestamp 57 minutes and 41 seconds on this video, okay? Now, I'm going to put it up on my screen. We're going to watch it together because, again, Carol, you need to apologize to Caprice because let's just play the clip.
Have we finished discussing the job description?
I was just going to ask that question. Is there anything else with the job description?
Okay. Will this come to us at a board meeting for approval to vote on?
This is your current job description that has been board approved. So if the board wants to make changes to certain areas, then it would need to come back in front of the school board for approval.
Okay.
or it could stay as is, and you could complete this entire process with this as is.
And the reason why I asked is because the link that I have to the job description online, this is a different version. So this isn't the same version of the job description that's online. These have additions.
The one online was written in 2012, and the titles that the superintendent supervisors are different. This one, when we published it, we just put in the current, and that's why they're underlined. All the underlined ones are the current titles of the positions the superintendent supervisors. So we can do whatever the board wishes. We can just leave it alone. We can bring just this revised job description the next time with the correct titles.
And there are also technical changes from the one online and the one here. So I just want to make sure we're doing everything that we
can. Well, to make the changes that are underlined, it would come back to the board.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So,
and
if you have other changes you'd like to see, just let me know. And
some of the technical changes haven't been highlighted, but they are present. Like making things gender neutral and some different terminology, it's changed.
Okay, so are you asking that this come before us to vote on and then make sure it's the one that's online?
Yes, if we're gonna follow the one that we have today, we need to make sure we vote on it and it's uploaded online.
Okay. Or are you asking for us to make changes to this today and then bring it forward?
The way the document is presented, it has the recommended suggestions that I
would want. Okay. So do we then bring this to the next board meeting?
Yes.
And vote on it and then connect it? Or yes. Can we connect it as a draft? So that as people are looking at it, they're looking at kind of where we're starting, or is that not something we can do?
We have job descriptions on the workshop next week. We can add this one to it, bring the correct redline version that includes the changes you're talking about, Ms. Edmond, and then you can approve it at the next board meeting, and it'll be in time for by your month set.
Okay. All right.
Just to clarify, though, that
okay. So when Member Edmond asked the question and intentionally was trying to follow along with, well, are these changes tracked? Because there are changes to this job description that doesn't match the website. Why is that? And when she's asking questions, you can hear the frustration in Carol's voice and stating that this is a moot point. And this is why the cameras need to be turned on. Because we need to see exactly who's talking in the body language, because the microaggressions that was going back and forth in that room was inappropriate. And it's not the first time. This is why I'm speaking about it. Member Caprice Edmond has been alone on several issues that positively impact our children and have been isolated and has been feeling like she doesn't have a team on the board. And she's doing everything that she can. But when you have school board members who's been on the board, such as Carol Cook, for years, I want to say she was elected to the Pinellas County School Board in 2000. Okay? That is a long time to be serving on the school board and not knowing that these job descriptions don't match. It's all about following procedures. And that's exactly what school board member Caprice Edmond wanted to do. These microaggressions have to stop. These people need to focus on the children. She's asking about things that make sense. But yet again, these microaggressions. So Carol, good morning. You owe Caprice an apology, period, full stop, because this ain't the first time. And I really don't want to spend my energy creating clips of you on the dais doing this exact same thing to Caprice, But if you don't see the fault in your ways, we can definitely put a receipt out here in black and white with subtitles and everything. So it's clear as day. It's inappropriate and it needs to stop. So this is why, folks, I'm telling you that if you're in Pinellas County, you want to have your voice made about this superintendent search, make sure that you complete the survey. Make sure that your voice is heard. And there are several meetings and town halls that will be discussing this. And I will provide updates as they come. But that's exactly the mess that I'm talking about. And our public schools are currently under attack. And these microaggressions don't help. Now, on the next agenda, we're talking about the Florida bills that are advancing on Tuesday. And the reason why I'm saying that they are advancing on Tuesday is because they're outnumbered. People to fight this, you see that the Republican Party will be loyal to their party. And for those that have different views and opinions are shamed on Twitter. That's exactly what's happening. What's happening is that some of your lawmakers are having beefs with each other on social media. Meanwhile, the people who were unemployed are literally waiting 3 hours to talk to someone about their assistance. We have voter registrations that are being modified and people haven't been held accountable. But yet your lawmakers are on Twitter desiring to go viral, desiring to be popular, and desiring to continue these antics that continue to divide us and not bring us together. So the first bill is the Don't Say Gay bill. Now, Governor Ron DeSantis is fast-tracking this bill, banning discussions of LGBTQ people and issues in classrooms. I want to play an ad by Equality Florida that highlighted this bill.
All right, Chelsea, you're up. Tell us about your hero.
I have two heroes, my two moms.
It's okay. You should be proud. Go ahead.
Mrs. Thompson, please report to the front office.
So, this is where I'm at emotionally with this. And I'm going to use myself and my wife as an example. So we have a godchild who will be entering school in a couple of years. And if me and my wife decided to come to the school to be there for our child, will we be penalized? Will the teachers be penalized? The way that this bill is structured, the verbiage on this bill is open for interpretation, and that makes this bill dangerous. This was not done with fidelity. This was done for talking points in November. Let's be very clear. This bill is passing because we have parties that haven't really rallied around this issue, and I just have to applaud Equality Florida for being the voice around this. I have to give a shout out to Representative Anna Escamani. I have to give a shout out to Representative Carlos Smith. I have to give a shout out to Representative Travaris McCurdy. I have to give a shout out to Representative Angie Nixon. I have to give a shout out to Representative Fentress Driscoll. And you also know that I'm always going to advocate 10 toes down for my wife. And if I forgot your name, please don't chart it to my heart, chart it to my head. I don't have names written down here. But I thank you. I thank you for the representatives that are speaking truth to power about this. I am thankful for the advocates that are rallying people around this issue. And the fact that we are creating bills that no one asked for in this vital time in this global pandemic where people are dying and we're seeing food supply chains breaking. We're seeing an enormous amount of corruption in the housing crisis to the point where we are outpricing people out of their homes. And then we are going up on rent. People can't afford their rent. And we have lawmakers in Tallahassee that has now been nicknamed Tallanasty that are creating bills that no one asked for. The next bill is the Stop Woke Act. And this is to censor conversations about racism, discrimination, and injustice in the classrooms and workspace. And I just want you to listen to Ron DeSantis, what he says about this bill.
So today we are going to be introducing to the public, and we have legislators who are going to help us with this, a new piece of legislation for the upcoming legislative session called Stop Wrongs Against Our Kids and Employees Act, the Stop Woke Act. And it's something that... And this will do a number of things that are very important. One, it will put into statute the Department of Education's prohibition on CRT in K through 12 schools. No taxpayer dollars should be used to teach our kids to hate our country or to hate each other.
Now, when Governor Ron DeSantis was intentionally asked, well, what curriculum is teaching children to hate our country? No answers. There is no answers. We're talking about banning CRT, but it's very explicitly clear that CRT is not taught in schools. What are we doing? What are we doing? And yet, Ron DeSantis has said nothing about the commissioner of education's African American task force. Let me show you the website. It's a live website. You can see it yourself, okay? Where we talk about the teaching of African American history. This is the website, folks. You could go see it yourself. I'm going to put the link in a comment for you to see it yourself. Okay? This task force mission and vision. Goal one, promoting awareness, understanding, and infusing the required, keyword required by statute, instruction, legislation that addresses the African American experience into the curriculum of Florida schools. Goal two, development of instructional guidelines, standardized framework, and supplemental materials and resources that include the African and African American people. Goal three is to provide pre and in-service training for implementation of the required instruction using various technologies and materials. Goal four, make recommendations to the Commissioner of Education and the appropriate Florida Department of Education leaders that support the full implementation of the required instruction mandate. Folks, the teaching of African American history, the teaching of the Holocaust has already been covered in legislation years ago. It's still there. Why we're having these conversations? Again, I go back to, this is only talking points for November. Okay. So I have to, again, continue to give a shout out to Equality Florida because they also had another ad that they posted about this ad, this bill. So let's go ahead and roll the clip.
I have a dream. My four little children will be judged by the content of their character. I have a dream.
Miss George? Why is this part crossed out?
So we have legislation to add cameras in the classroom. In certain states, they want teachers to make a lesson plan for the full year, although they use words such as being flexible for our children. we're seeing the dismantling of public education. And so, like, I have some questions, and I hate to step on people's toes, but what is happening with the Florida Democratic Party? Hello? Let me get my sound effects. What's happening to the Florida Democratic Party? What y'all doing? Because I'm getting emails that y'all want to have people to give money to y'all, but what's happening? Okay. These bills have been talking points for Ron DeSantis. Florida has been in national and international headlines for months. This is not moving us forward. This is dividing us apart. And we have organizations that are getting copious amounts of money to claim that they're advocating for the movement of our state, and the receipts don't match. Where are you? The corporations that decided that they wanted to have all of the LGBT apparel for Pride Month. We call it rainbow capitalism. Where y'all at? I have questions. And then it takes me to this next topic, because we're banning books, but we're not checking cell phones. Help me here. I had to take a deep breath with this one, because banning books just wasn't enough. Mm-mm. Some folks are burning books and then recording themselves burn books. And this topic is already emotionally taxing. So I will just say this, that the story ends the same way. History repeats itself. And this will continue until they find the next outrage. But while I do believe that the books in our classroom should be thoroughly reviewed to ensure that they align with the target age group, I also believe that we should keep that same energy with other forms of content that our children consume. Uh-huh. So I'm talking about from listening to music, to watching videos, to playing video games. All of these forms of content impact children. In fact, studies have shown that the parasocial relationships that your children are forming online and the access that they have to inappropriate content poses more of a danger than this book ban. Okay. So I want to tell you about this new law that was introduced on Thursday aimed to making kids safer online. And so the Kids Safety Act. This legislation is to provide kids and parents tools and safeguards to protect them against threats to their health. Internal research that was shared by a whistleblower raised the awareness that Instagram executives knew that the platform could be harmful to teens, but yet they continued to push out Instagram Kids. Instagram Kids was paused in September, and I want to share the statement from Instagram. So let me share my screen so that you can see their statement. This is from Instagram. Okay. And Instagram is suspending and pausing Instagram Kids as they claim that they're doing more work to provide parental supervision and oversight. And if you actually read this breakdown, basically they're saying that, listen, they have YouTube Kids, they have Facebook Kids, they have all of these different options. And we are just trying to allow children under the age of 13 on our platform. And, you know, we want our tweens that are 10 to 12 to be on the platform as long as they have parental supervision. Now, the COPPA law is very, very clear. Now, this law is old, and I think it was in 1996 or 1998. I'm not sure which one is the two, but it's one of them. And the COPPA law prevents teens 13 and under to be on these platforms, to have their data collected. And so I go back to y'all parents, okay? We are talking about banning books, but we are not paying attention to what's on children's cell phones. Y'all have no idea who your children are talking to. You have no idea the connections that they have. You have no idea the influencers that they're following. But yet you want to say that parents should have a choice. And I absolutely agree. And your choice should be to check your children's phone. Find out who they're talking to. because the headlines are just outrageous with children that are kidnapped, children that go missing and run away, and children that get connected in things that they have no business doing. But because they have their cell phone and because they have their tablet, they're able to do that. So how is this all impacting children? Great question. So in February the 10th, a Texas coach had his arm broken after being chased by middle school students, and he was shoved to the ground. Now, why were the children chasing this educator? Well, because he told the children not to ride their dirt bike on school property. These middle school children were allegedly doing donuts. They were intentionally causing a ruckus with their dirt bikes. So instead of leaving the school, they resorted to physical violence because they didn't get their way. And this is dangerous on so many different levels. But wait, this situation is just beginning. After the boys were arrested, an older group made threatening posts on social media that they were going to shoot up the school the next day. That threat was posted on social media and sent the school into lockdown. The superintendent of the school district confirmed that the school received many threats of further violence via social media and that additional security officers were sent to the school. This story became viral because the chase was unreal to watch. And so I'm going to post a receipt in the comments for you to watch that on your own time, because I'm not going to play that video on here. Okay. And to Rep. McCurdy's point, which thank you for being here this morning, human trafficking is also on the rise. Absolutely. Absolutely. Your children are on dating apps. Parents, try to meet and connect with people. And the more that I think about it, these devices that were aimed to connect us together are dividing us more apart. We can't agree to anything, and everybody has an opinion, and everybody's an expert, especially from the University of Google and YouTube. We have an issue with misinformation and disinformation, and people don't know what's true or not. So we continue to talk about the aggression in our schools because you have a fake account that resulted in a teen receiving 14 days in juvenile detention. This happened in South Florida, folks, in our state. A mother is suing a local school district on behalf of her 13-year-old child who was wrongly arrested and spent 14 days detained in a juvenile detention center. Guess what? Because a classmate impersonated her online and sent threatening social media messages. But we banning books, but we have children that are falsely being arrested because fake accounts on social media. Okay. The mother is suing, and I don't blame her. And I just want to share the clip that was posted from ABC News on February the 17th. Let's look at the clip. Oh, I'm sharing the wrong tab, y'all. My bad. Share tab instead. Here we go. Oh, my bad. Y'all can't hear it? Okay. Let me fix that. My bad, y'all. This is what happens when you do it live. All right, here we go.
We turn now to a Florida teenager and her mother fighting back after someone created a fake social media account in the teen's name, leading to a nightmare that started with a school bomb threat. Here's ABC's Andrew Fujii.
This morning, a 13-year-old is speaking out after a fake Instagram account led to her being wrongly arrested.
It was scared. I was scared.
This is video of Nia Wim's arrest at her Florida school last year, accused of making threats of violence against the school on Instagram. But after further investigation, it was determined a fellow student made those threats, impersonating Wim's on Instagram and setting up a fake account. That student was later arrested and charged. But in the meantime, Wim spent nearly 2 weeks in juvenile detention, time that she says scarred her.
I feel distanced, like I really don't want to talk to anybody.
She wanted to become a police officer. I know she's telling me she doesn't want to do it anymore because she feels like she was treated so badly.
Wim's family is now suing the school, Instagram's parent company Meta, and the Pembroke Pines Police Department, alleging they engaged in malicious prosecution, violated Wim's civil rights, and intentionally inflicted emotional distress.
Everything should be taken the time to investigate thoroughly before introducing trauma to any child at all.
The school responded, saying, "Our priority is always the safety and security of our students, and we immediately involved law enforcement regarding that threat and took all appropriate precautions." The lawsuit also claims Instagram was negligent in allowing the creation of a fake account.
That platform was used to frame Nia and caused her to be locked up.
Meta and the police department have not commented, but police have said they notified prosecutors right away when the fake account was discovered.
Nia Wims does not attend that school anymore. Instead, she goes to school online. But her mom says she intends to enroll her at a different public school because her daughter does miss being with other kids.
This baby experienced trauma. And what could have been done was searching the IP address, the device that actually posted the threat. And she spent 14 days. And if you actually go down the story, this young queen was actually attacked at the juvenile facility. And a girl had made a threat that she was going to stab her for a piece of chocolate. This young queen is traumatized. What happened to the other child? Great question, Tia. So the other child was arrested after they found out who it belonged to. And it turned out to be a 12-year-old girl. Parents. As much as we want to hold our education systems accountable and the people that are responsible for our children, I have the same question and energy for you. The child was 12. The terms of service with Instagram doesn't allow anyone under the age of 13 to be on the app. So why is this 12-year-old child on this app? Parents? Hello. So I understand the issue where we want to have oversight to make sure that our children are learning. But do you know what they're watching? Do you know what they're participating in? Because a child received 14 days over a fake account. And I've talked about this years ago, folks. These children have created what they call spam pages. They call them Finstas. And they have all different type of nicknames that you can find on Urban Dictionary. Gen Z has a completely different language that I'm still trying to figure out. And the biggest thing recently was Pushing P. I had no idea what that was. I had to go look that up. Your kids are listening to music and they're following people and they're looking up to the money and the lifestyle because the algorithm is fueling that. And they think that this is the way to go. I can go on and on with examples, folks, of what's happening across this country and right here in your own house. Parents, it is important while we hold these teachers accountable that you hold yourself equitably accountable along with your household. So that leads me to this. So the State of Education and Mental Health Town Hall will be across the state. I'm trying to get all the school board members, all the community members involved. And so the first one that we will have will be on Sunday. Let me post that up so that you can see it. We have school board member Karen Perez that will be hosting and moderating the State of Education and Mental Health Town Hall on February the 20th at 7:30 right here on Teaching for the Culture. Also, we have another event scheduled in March with school board member Caprice Edmond on March 28th at 7:30. There are going to be some community members and some people that are really tapping into our children. And it's important that you are in these conversations. Because I'm telling you, from the stuff that's happening in Tallahassee to the stuff that's happening right in your own home, we all have to operate with the three principles, and that's accountability, transparency, and integrity. And that goes for myself. I'm not above accountability either. So please make sure that you check out the upcoming events that's happening with the Teaching for the Culture Network. And I will leave you with this thought. What story are you selling to yourself? What story are you telling to yourself? And could you imagine another reality outside of your perspective? Reflect on this, and I would love to know your thoughts. And until next time, y'all have an amazing day. Please make sure you continue to stream Safe Space. I'm getting a lot of just valid feedback and just critiques and love and everything. So please make sure that you check out Safe Space. Until next time, peace.
Let's get it. People lie, receive stone. People lie, receive stone. People lie, receive stone. You better get your receipts on them. People lie, receive stone. People lie, receive stone. People lie, receive stone.